It is a highlight of my week, perhaps the best moment of my week, when I get to chat with Rick Limpert. Look forward to this conversation as always. Follow Rick on Twitter, the handle there, Rick Roswell. And Rick, we've got a lot to cover. First, we'll start off with Mother's Day. Don't forget Mother's Day.
Yeah, Mother's Day this weekend. Mother's Day weekend. It should be a full weekend devoted to mom. And Sally, happy Mother's Day to your mom and all the moms out there that are listening, or people that are listening that have moms. So it's a busy weekend always.
And we are wrapping up here Digital Inclusion Week. Explain a little bit about what this is.
I know you've talked about this, Sully, in the past, and I know you're kind of on top of things maybe when it comes to this, but this is just making sure everybody has the same opportunities when it comes to using internet, Wi-Fi, technology that we have at our disposal. It's we take this for granted, a lot of us, but there are parts of the world, parts of this country where this is not taken for granted. So this week is kind of calling attention to that.
And there's a organization out there called Connected Nation, online at connectednation.org. What good things are they doing?
Yeah, their mission statement, Sully, is to make sure that no family, individual, or business is left without access to the internet, no matter what their economic or geographic situation is. So very important. Connected Nation is a company doing a lot of good work. And then they're not only calling attention to the problem, but they're actually bringing the affordable high-speed internet and broadband to Americans that have been left out kind of this maze. And, I guess people have donned it over the years, the digital divide. So they're working in public and private sectors to make sure we all have internet. Every part of the country does.
People talk about internet for all. Why do those people believe that internet is important for all?
Well, I like the fact that Connected Nation's Vice President of Community Affairs, Eric Frederick, says that it's having access to it or not having access to it is an enormous disadvantage. So to raise our company up as a whole, to make our company strong as possible, we have to have this, I think, for everybody. So their staff is working with local community leaders. So there's a government component to this. There's a business component. There's a family component. And, we live in a big metropolitan area here, Sully, in Atlanta. But there's farmers, other urban areas and rural areas that don't have all the same advantages we have.
And just to get people actively thinking about how some of these technologies that are available with just the internet and as well as apps that could really revolutionize methods that people do things with across all industries.
Yeah, bringing the internet to people is just one aspect of it. But then there's some people, and these are not just elderly people, that need to be taught and trained how to use all the digital resources we have. And Connected Nation's been involved with that. A company called Digital Works also has. More and more people now are able to work at home, so this is important for them. So these are fast-growing segments of the workplace, and rural areas are a big part of it. They, having the internet and having all the use of technology for these people is great for the economy and small communities that sometimes struggle.
And we'll talk a little bit more about working from home as it relates to our highway, which was just completed, Interstate 85. The fix is complete, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. But let's talk about the state and local levels, what Connected Nation is doing there to partner up with governments in kind of closing that digital gap.
Well, some people look at this as a positive, some maybe as a negative, but working with the state governments to provide accurate data mapping of where the lack of internet and broadband services is. I know that's happened here in the state of Georgia. Actually, under Nathan Deal in the state of Georgia here, he's made this kind of a priority. He has a team working on this. But, also states like Alaska and Utah, where there's rural areas, they're maybe a little more remote. This has happened in those areas. So this is great for students, parents, educators, and this is just like I said, this is something that's going to help grow the economy.
And the statistics about digital inclusion are somewhat staggering, though. Atlanta, though, is kind of in a good position, right?
Well, we're in a pretty good position. Like I said, this has been a priority. One area we know we're in a good area for technology, Sully, because we are the most, and this is a stat, The 404 area code is the most robocalled area in America. So they know that that we're connected. 49.7 million calls received in April were robocalls, and also the 678 and 770 area codes made the top 20 on the most robocalled area codes. I tend to think, Sully, this maybe had something to do with the handle Ossoff, you know, election and now the runoff, but who knows?
Well, I think they know that there's money here. If there's robocalls going on, they know that people have income here.
Yeah, well, as P.T. Barnum said, there's a sucker born every minute. Maybe we have a lot of people here that aren't aware that some of these robocalls are scams. So that's something to look out for.
All right. And talk about the technology gap. Perhaps we don't have a huge gap here in Atlanta, but certainly there is a gap. But what other places have a big tech gap?
Well, there are some urban areas and major cities that do have tech gaps, and New Orleans, and then two cities that may surprise people because they're kind of tech hubs are Portland and Boston. So it's the haves and have-nots in cities like that. There's people that have the fastest internet and broadband at their disposal, and there's people that have barely anything. So we're trying to close that gap.
All right, another interesting area. I think people are fascinated with Austin, Texas. It's got incredible music. It's got incredible food. It has a great culture. A lot of people are moving there. The tech industry drives some of that. What are things like on the tech front in Austin?
Well, yeah, people, again, Austin, a city that has a great tech community, but 55,000 Austinites don't have internet access. So that's a major problem. Public housing families in Austin, fewer than 30% own a computer, and you know, 15% have never had an internet connection of any type. So even in a tech center like Austin, don't take things for granted. There's work to be done, and hopefully the authorities, private and public sector, are on it for internet equality for all.
On the other side of the globe, the country of New Zealand, they have fine broadband there in the big cities, but in the rural areas, it's difficult and very costly to get internet.
Yeah, more sheep than people in New Zealand, Sully. But, you know, in the big cities, it's fine. They have widespread free broadband, which is they're kind of a model for other countries and big cities. But the rural areas are hurting. And, you know, this hurts the pocketbook of these people that don't have the internet. Maybe they can't take advantage of certain things that are offered online shopping and things like that. So they say that it's costing those people maybe $1,000 a year in their pocketbook because they don't have the internet access. So having internet access is not only just bringing things even across the board, but also bringing things even economically to people.
I'm looking at a graphic that you sent me, and these statistics are staggering. I think we live in a bubble and often think of just ourselves and our country. But North America, Mexico, U.S., Canada, accounts for less than 10% of internet users in the world on this little pie chart that I'm looking at, which is a current piece of statistics only through late March.
Yeah, it's a small piece of the pie. And, you know, in Asia, there's a big more population centers over there. But we do have a good amount of the world's population living here in the Americas. But, yeah, look at that stat. Just the numbers, sheer numbers in Asia, people that are regular internet users, the staggering Europe right behind it. And then we're bringing up the rear along with, Australia. I mean, we think of us as developed and all tech-savvy countries, but we're lagging behind when it comes to internet users.
Well, good stuff from Rick Limpert each week, as always, and make sure that you check out wirelesswednesday.live, the hub for all things Rick, ricklimpert.info, and of course on Twitter, Rick Roswell, the handle. Well, it is an amazing feat of engineering. Perhaps records have been set with the repair of the Interstate 85 there at Piedmont Road. Only 6 weeks, and now by the time Monday comes, both north and southbound will be open. It's been impressive to watch that.
I wouldn't have thought that it would have got done this soon, Sully, but it has been amazing. And hopefully, maybe we learned some lessons from this as far as I think a lot of people were telecommuting. I think that maybe that should stay in place. And there's ways to reduce our traffic on the roads without, you know, building more lanes or building more highways. So maybe this is an eye-opener for some people, and it's going to be a lesson learned, and we'll see what happens in the next few years. Hopefully all these construction people now move over to 75 so we can get all that mess done.
Always good to catch up with you, Rick.
Thanks, though.